CliffCentral.com.
Yes, we're live. It's Tuesday. You're alive. But to start your day and be productive, well, that's what we hope. If you work for SARS IT department, maybe not. I know it's been a week and you guys are used to this, but I only watched that clip for the first time on Thursday last week, and I was in another country.
Did you watch all of them?
Well, I watched the first and the second one. I don't know what the third one is, but the one was where she's talking to Nugent at the commission, right?
Yeah.
And then there's one where she's interviewed on SABC. And that poor interviewer, she's trying really hard to be professional, not laugh. And then at the end, she kind of starts laughing.
She couldn't help it. She's like, what's this?
What's the third one?
So there's the one of the Nugent Commission, and then there's the one by the Drakensberg Boys
Choir. Okay. All right. So I thought that was just one clip, but it's two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's two in that choir. So she's... Wow. But I almost feel like she either got the best sense of humor, or she literally has never, ever been accountable for anything in her life.
I'm going with the latter. Yeah, going with the latter.
But at the beginning, it's comedy on like another level.
Well, we're off to a busy start this morning. We have two special guests joining us today. I don't know how they got past Sia Sangweni Finn, but here they are. The hosts of probably one of our most successful, it's definitely one of our most successful shows here on CliffCentral.com. Love them or hate them, they are the Renegades, and they are here this morning. That is Roman Cabanac and Jonathan Witt. Look at them. Look at them in all of their glory, dressed in chinos and college shirts.
Like the patriarchy would expect them to. That's the official uniform of white monopoly capital.
If you were going to win Wisconsin and Michigan, you would probably wear this shirt.
Bernie Sanders wears shirts like that, doesn't he?
Oh. Well, of course he buys from the capitalistic... Oh.
No, I'm sure he wears polystyrene shirts.
Bernie Sanders is a beach house, man.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you guys on. I mean, you know, we often talk, you guys will message into the show, and your own show is really, it's very popular among our listeners. And what I love is that, you know, you can come here and you can get an earful of the Renegade Report, and then you can go and listen to something else, or you might just come for the Renegade Report. A lot of people who listen to Jonathan and Roman might not listen to anything else. It's good. Yeah, it's the way of the future. People choose what they want. A free economy, right?
Well, I mean, as long as they just listen to podcasts and not mainstream media, we'll be very happy. Because they can be informed and listen to us, or misinformed and listen to anyone else.
You guys get into a lot of fights with the mainstream media people, don't you?
Fights or just, you know, discussions?
I mean,
which way do you guys put it?
One of the only reasons to go on Twitter anymore is to watch the Renegades just trolling the hell out of it.
Ramon really is the original troll.
Helen Ziller, then Ramon.
Helen Ziller actually blocked Ramon.
That's how much of a troll he is.
She felt threatened.
She blocked me for trolling her. And then I met her a few years later, and in the book that she wrote, I bought it, and she said, from one troll to another. So I said, well done, Helen, you're learning.
Yeah, no, he definitely predated Helen in terms, and she isn't really that good at troll. She gets very emotional sometimes.
Well, I don't know, she trolled a whole bunch of people about the Singapore Commons. That was pretty up there.
Well, she didn't hold back.
Didn't give a shit anymore because she's... Your job's done in a year's time, so it's all over.
Let's go back to that media question. Is it a fight if one person has no legs and no arms and the other is able-bodied?
No, because Monty Python taught us that with the Black Knight.
Yes, you can still fight. Exactly. If you can pick up a sword with your mouth, you can still fight.
But that's how it feels, like jousting with these journalists on Twitter. Like some of them are just ignoramuses, and it's really funny to expose them for what they are.
The other thing is, when they get so upset, is it proves... their objectivity disappears, right? Mm. It's this whole idea of we're so objective and it's all about objective truth. Well, no, it's very clearly subjective for you, and you very clearly have a bias, like everyone.
Well, you see, you got to admit your bias up front. Mm-hmm. And this is what I love about the world of free media that we're in now, is that anyone with whatever their preconceived ideas might be, or their desire to improve themselves and learn more and change their bad ideas, there's room for everybody now. And I like that. I like the fact that consumers can decide what they want, that people are able to listen to what isn't a controlled and created narrative. You know, the left often says that the narrative is the only thing that's important, right? And that everything is made up, basically.
Well, yeah, stories and narratives are very important, and the right somehow thinks facts and statistics are important.
That sounds wobbly.
Somehow.
How do you... But you need to meld the two, because facts are not persuasive, but stories are not persuasive if they're not based on reality. Mm-hmm. So you have to meld the two together, and that's how you become very persuasive.
I just got to ask both of you, or either of you can take this question, but does it not get tiring? Like, because you...
What?
Tired of winning, Ben.
It's very sad, Ben. Very sad.
No, like, I go on Twitter and I follow both of you because I believe that both of you are intelligent individuals. And whether I like your opinion, confused by your opinion, or just bored by it, I just think you're coming from a place where you want to get, like, something good out of it. But it looks tiring that you guys are constantly on there and you know that the people are fucking stupid about certain things. But like, is it like you're just sharpening your swords for a bigger battle, or is it...
Yeah, does it get exhausting?
Does it get exhausting?
Or are you not really interested in an outcome, you're just enjoying the journey?
No, well, it's important to fight the battle of ideas, especially with people who think that they are the arbiters of facts and reasons and truth.
But do
and
you
it's
not
important
feel
to take them down a notch and say, listen, there's another perspective. I don't troll, just... I don't call people asshole for nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I look at their arguments and tell them you're wrong for these reasons. And I think it's very important in a so-called democracy like ours to be able to do so. And people should be able to understand in times of free speech, supposedly, that they may be wrong. And the only way to learn is to learn from your intellectual opponents.
Couldn't agree more. And that's one of the things I like. And you often have guests who challenge you guys and who challenge the audience as well, which is the point. Like, have new ideas. Anyway, we want to talk about a bunch of things with you this morning. I want to talk a little bit about capitalism and why it gets such a bad rap. I think that we there are probably a whole lot of political issues we can get into too. Maybe we should talk about the fact that the Discovery Summit's bringing Bill and Crooked Hillary here.
Yeah, I have some questions.
I don't know how to react with you guys.
So, Sia, would you go if I gave you a free ticket to go and see Crooked Hillary? You'd go.
Okay, let me judge by the reaction in the room. Yay, no.
Listen, you got Rapey Bill, Crooked Hillary, and Pig Fucker Cameron.
Oh,
and then you get charged $10,000 a pop. No, oh. Thank you.
So I guess not for
There's
you.
Not much more to say than that. Jeez. I'm on form this morning.
Still don't know what to say, so I'll go BA.
Politicians are not heroes.
No, they're not.
No, they're mostly they're crooked.
And just... they're on these two are on such a money train at the moment. What are they charging for a talk?
I'd love to know what it is.
Hillary's about $750,000.
Yeah.
For
one talk.
Yeah.
I find that a bit hard to believe. But yeah, for her.
But guys, can we just break that down? That is criminal. I mean, I don't even mean this with the Hillary context here. That is criminal amounts of money. Why? What qualifies her? I mean, which you're a doctor. You've gone through a variety of things in your life to get to a point where you charge for your service. What has Hillary done to command 750?
And then, of course, we have Crooked Please, Hillary. Crooked Hillary, folks.
Someone humor me on this, because that just sounds like a piss take.
I really think this is old world stuff. I really think these people are working 20 years ago when people wanted to hear politicians write.
Or a former president was a superstar.
And they also came and they gave these manicured speeches that you expected to see on the West Wing. And that was stump speeches, the kind of thing
that impresses feeble-minded people. Yeah,
that's what people wanted to hear, that perfect sort of speech that you really used to hear from your head boy or head girl at school.
You think this person has special talents. Here's the interesting thing: is like, to be a politician, you have to win a popularity contest. So in game theory, the only thing that matters is winning.
Yep.
But when that happens with someone you don't like, like Donald Trump, if you're a Democrat in America, then suddenly winning isn't everything. But it really is in politics. And politics has always been a popularity
contest.
Well,
take it from Hillary. She recently said there should be no civility until the Democrats run the House and the Senate. Ooh. So winning also means everything to her, to the point that she's willing to suspend.
She might even run again. That's what I'm hearing.
Please God, she runs again.
That's it.
Please God.
Guys, and this is why sport is better than everything. Hillary would have been literally made, if it was horse racing, would be dog food by now. If this was rugby, Hillary would probably have called time on the career. We'd be selling like photocopiers now. If this was cricket,
she's not even Victor Matfield.
Hillary might be coaching a school team. You don't, in politics, you somehow stay bobbing at the top of this like cesspit pool thing.
Because
Ben, do you know what point she raises up? She says, and her team says, she's a year younger than Trump. So you look at...
She can't walk upstairs, for goodness sake. She can't just go on YouTube and go Hillary walking stairs. She literally cannot do it.
Her team says she's a year younger than Donald Trump. She's a year younger than Joe Biden. She's younger than Joe Biden by 4 years. And, you know, this is Bernie Sanders' second time running for presidency and Biden's third time for running for presidency.
So it's a double standards.
Oh. There we go.
And because she's a woman, in the previous
election, her team cites 65 million people voted for her. So this is when a former aide said, well, I'm not saying there's zero chance that she won't run for presidency. And by the way, this is her third time running.
Now, that guy, who that 2020. Former aide,
but she would break the glass ceiling of being the only person to lose the presidency twice in a row.
Okay.
So that would be a new low.
But no other woman or man has ever done that before.
When they go low,
that's a Neil Armstrong moment right there.
So hang on, this guy who said that I'm not saying that there's 1% chance, and I'm not saying that there isn't. That guy's like her spin doctor. He's
Philip Rhines.
That's right.
Her former senior advisor and deputy secretary of state for strategic communications.
Yeah, which means he's her spin doctor.
Okay.
All these people should have been fired years ago because they lost. Why are they still around?
You also don't even know how dodgy some of these people are. I mean, Barack Obama had a guy in the White House with him, literally one of his advisors, who used to drive a van. Tommy Vietor. That was what he did before he was in the White House. Ben Rhodes was a novelist. He wrote fiction novels in his apartment in New York.
But then designed
the Iranian plan.
We're getting straight into this, and I didn't want to rush headlong into it. But since we're in. Like, a lot of people have a problem with the fact that Donald Trump has hired Ivanka and Jared, and he's got a bunch of his former business confederates and associates helping him out in the White House.
And that 7-time French Open champion from yesterday.
Yes, who's going to be our South African ambassador.
She also won the Tour de France once, I think, as well.
That's right.
Lana Marks.
Yeah. Ben revealed that. But that's your prerogative as a president, and no one's gone and taken a fine comb over the appointments that were made by people like Richard Nixon or Johnson or Ford. I mean, Ford, that guy had a very low IQ, Gerald Ford, right?
Well, he did. I would say not as low as Jimmy Carter, but Jimmy Carter's actually not stupid. He's just a bit of a peanut farmer, literally.
No, he was actually a peanut farmer.
He was.
That's what he did before he was president and after.
Look, the thing about the Trump administration is that it's hilarious that
you could stop that sentence right there because
it's hilarious. It is. But the journalists and the Fourth Estate have generally woken up to be like, rah, rah, this is not acceptable. And for almost everything that happens in the Trump administration, there is a comparative example in an administration before Trump and usually in the Obama administration. You want to talk about hiring people that are dodgy? Obama did it just as much. You want to talk about saying things against the press? Obama did it as well. He had a Fox News reporter removed. He had his enemies. He got the IRS to go after his own enemies.
That's right.
There are dodgy things that happen in every presidency. The thing is that the media turned off for 8 years. That's at least...
Well, okay, the media have a love affair. And this is something that Jonathan Witt and I disagree on all the time. The media had this complete love affair with Barack Obama.
The first celebrity president. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I mean, well, I
Reagan.
Was...
Yeah, Reagan was first. Come
Reagan
on.
Was a celebrity.
He wasn't a celebrity president. What I mean by celebrity president is the type of president that goes on late night shows every second week. Who love yourself the way Obama loves himself.
For his time, Reagan was exactly that. I mean, for his time, there wasn't as much going on in media terms.
Do you agree with that?
The thing about Reagan was that he was a celebrity that became a president, but Barack Obama was a celebrity because he was the president.
Look, Reagan actually had a lot of governing experience before he became the president. You know, Reagan governed in California, and he did a lot of things, some good, some bad. Ramon doesn't like a lot of what he did, but the point is that he actually knew what he was doing. Obama was fast-tracked.
When he could remember what day of the week it was. No, here's the problem. And I think Bill Maher, who I know we'll also both disagree on, he says it quite well in a recent episode of his show, Real Time. He says that the Republicans like taking celebrities and turning them into presidents, or certainly politicians. So they did that with Schwarzenegger, they did it with Reagan, and Trump is the latest example, right? But he said, and I think it's a useful turn of phrase, it's not entirely true, but he said what Democrats do is they take a politician and they can sometimes turn them into a celebrity. There may be some truth to that. They did perhaps, in the case of Obama.
I would say, you know, Democrats take Marxists and turn them into presidents. So,
well, I liked Obama because in the old model of a politician, he was just about the best example of how some. I mean, he was very, very good. One of the things we like about or don't like about Donald Trump, depending on your point of view, is the way that he handles the media. It's totally unconventional. He breaks the rules. He stands up there and he answers any question for an hour. It's unheard of. Obama was the opposite kind of politician in that he knew how to wrangle the media to his advantage, and he turned the whole system to work for him from a media point of view.
Yeah, but he was complete style over substance. He acted like the worst Republican president by having this hawkish foreign policy.
A lot of people want that. They want style over substance. Some people marry style over substance.
I agree. I think they do want style over substance. I think that's why he was so popular. But I also think that walking into a room where everyone is already applauding you is a lot easier, and wrangling that room and controlling that is a lot easier. It's like these brave actors standing up at the Oscars or the Emmys and saying fuck Trump. Well, cool, to a room of a thousand other people who also think fuck Trump.
No,
do it in a room of people who love Trump.
Right, yeah.
Jonathan, it's a room of rapists.
I was looking at Mrs. Obama, Michelle Obama, on, it was probably Good Morning America or one of those morning talk shows, as she was talking about, of course, the conversation had to be about that viral photo or video of her receiving a suite from George Bush the funeral of Senator McCain. And I swear she took that moment of receiving a suite from George Bush, and I caught myself getting so emotional from what she said, and then I went, hold up, what would Renegade Report say from this? Because she actually said
about unity.
Yes, I swear to
unity and working together and bringing the country together.
That's a, so
she goes, Michelle 2024.
I love George Bush so much.
Sia, here's the thing about
he
the,
and
Sia,
I
actually,
are
Sia has
incredible.
A bracelet on. What would the Renegade Report say?
That's what WWRDD.
Here's the thing about the Obamas. They're like the quintessential white puritanical middle class family.
Break that down for me. What does that mean?
As soon as he gets into power, he stops smoking. She loses weight. She cares about children and their nutrition. He cares about doing gym.
Like Stepford wives.
It really is. But, like the puritanical work ethic to the nth degree.
I'm really going to be basic and ask you everything here. What does that say to you? Do you doubt who they are, or does that say that they imply that they're fake?
It's a facade. It's the Oprah Winfrey-cation of politics. Trump, despite everything, we know who he is. He's a narcissistic egoist who doesn't
womanizer.
Like people. Womanizer. Shags porn stars.
And that's more palatable to you.
He's a real person. There's texture there.
Excuse me, not porn stars. Horse face.
Sorry, horse faces. But there's a real person there. Same with Nixon, same with even Bill Clinton. He was far more real than the Obamas. The Obamas are just like something from the Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, but
I just want to know why Michelle is taking sweets from a war criminal. That's what I want to know.
Oh, no, she was saying because I love, and this is what we need in America, to be able to put down and put aside our political differences and be able to unite.
The worst part is she has children with a war criminal as well.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. No one bombed more countries.
So I don't want to put words into your mouths, but rather the devil you know than the devil you don't know.
No, well, if you look at the American economy, definitely rather the devil you don't know, frankly.
Politicians managing things is usually a bad outcome.
The biggest problem with Trump and any criticism of him is that the criticism didn't start at any reasonable level. It started at Hitler. And so when you started Hitler...
Jeez.
It did.
When you started Hitler...
It's only 28 minutes past
Don't you remember when I had Debbie Droke from Washington on here? And she's just an American citizen with an opinion. She's entitled to it. And the first thing she said was, Trump is actually literally Hitler. And that's a bad place to start. I agree with you.
Because the problem is, if you do anything that's only halfway to Hitler... then people get to go, well, it's not Hitler, is it? And this is the issue with Trump, is that there are genuine criticisms of him, and there are genuine commendations you can make of him. And at the moment, what's happening is there's a lot of decent stuff happening. And so all of the screaming at the sky, literally, it looks just completely irrational makes him look better.
Exactly. He makes the... And he's doing this now. He's even got a new slogan, jobs, not mobs. You know, as in brilliant. The Republican.
This is Trump's new slogan.
He launched it last week.
Jobs, not months.
And what he's doing is he's characterizing the left, even though there are plenty of quite sensible, quite able, quite capable people with leftist ideas who are contributing to the economy. He's making them all look like a bunch of deranged lunatics, which is playing into his whole strategy. It's terrific. Anyway, I don't want to go down too much more of this road because we've got to get to the five things you need to know. But here's some comments from people. First of all, Clever Kid 1987 says, fun fact, Jonathan the Hypocrite Wit blocked me when I trolled him once. So.
That's right. I do block people.
You do?
Because if you don't have anything useful to say and you want to come at me with some stupid, retarded insult that has no relevance to what I'm saying, I don't owe you my time. And
if you want my time, you own your timeline?
Damn straight I do.
How dare you? It belongs to the people. Lubabalo says, I love those guys. I listen to their podcast every Tuesday, but they annoy the hell out of me sometimes. Well, they annoy me too, and I listen to them. I mean, I get you. They're annoying in real life and online and in their podcast, but it's often annoying when people... when people say things that you disagree with and end up having more to back up their side of the argument than yours. It happens to me often. I'm happy to admit it. Quentin says, great show to have you guys on, but I do think Ben got the show going close to 6 every morning last week. What's up with you, Gareth? Fair enough. See, as I said, got to take criticism. And then a lot of people saying that they love the Renegade Report. 2, 3, 4, 5 comments here saying that they love the Renegades. So there we go. Growing in popularity every day. Are you still beating Eusebius McKaiser?
Who's that? More like Eusebius McKaiser.
No, you are, right?
We're like way on top.
Okay, just checking.
Well, I don't like to refer to being on top of Eusebius McKaiser.
I don't know if he prefers us at the top or the bottom, but we're way on top.
All right,
so.
I like winners. So much winning, you're going to be tired of winning. That's where we're headed.
Tired of winning.
All right, let's look at the five things you need to know. And by the way, a little later on, the lovely Robin Scher from Lifestyle Home and Garden will be popping by. Apparently, this is a problem that Jonathan Witt has, not just me, not just some of us. Ants, right? You got ants in your garden and you've got ants in your house, right?
In the fucking house. Why don't they stay out?
And they're always looking for water.
The hell?
I have ants that climb into my kettle.
I have that too.
Oh,
what a theory that just the foundation under my house must just be ants.
Your whole house is just held up by ants.
But there's phases. Like I look at my cat's water bowl sometime. Ants. Mm-hmm. What are you doing there?
But you ever wake up the next morning, you go to the sink and your old dishes that were white are now black because there's just ants all over them?
No, that's never happened. Does that happen to you?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Wow.
Lots of ants.
You live in a bad area.
Jonathan moved just down the road from me a few months ago.
I have shivers running down my spine.
This must be the problem. The ants are coming from Ramon's. They're seeding out.
He's ground zero for ants. All right, but we'll talk about this because Robin has ways we can deal with them. She has ways and means. So we'll figure those out in a short while. All right, you want to know what's happening in the world? You're in the right place. So let's start off with an ugly story. There was a disgustingly nasty crash on the N2. And a family were killed, 5 people. 2 others outside of that family were killed, injured in a horrific head-on collision on the N2 near Mthunzini in the KwaZulu-Natal north coast Sunday afternoon. The driver of one of the cars was burnt to death because he was trapped in the car, which ignited on impact. You know, you get in your car in the morning and you're like, oh man, I'm in a hurry, I've got to deal with traffic, or my Bluetooth isn't connecting, or... feels like when I brake, I need to have these brake pads replaced, but you don't realize you're driving in this cage that you could end up burning to death in. It's just a horrendous thing, and we get into our cars like it's everyday stuff, and we forget that they are these fast-moving, heavy pieces of metal that can very quickly end our lives.
This
if we
is
don't
why Ben is smart, you see.
Drive them responsibly. Well, Ben's on a bike, which is sometimes even more dangerous.
He gets ejected off the vehicle, so it catches fire.
Exactly. That was pretty much my sole reasoning for getting it. Yeah.
But hang on, Whit, you step in on this story because you have seen, you often work in the emergency room, and you've seen a lot of people who come in with car accident injuries, and some of them don't make it. I mean, are we in South Africa particularly irresponsible on the roads? Because we know that the statistics will bear this out. What kinds of things are people not doing? No seat belts? I mean, what bothers you as a doctor?
Yeah, no seat belts is a big one, I think. And it's amazing how people rationalize that. Yeah, I'll be better off with a seatbelt. You'd rather have an accident without a seatbelt, you know. Then if the car rolls, you'll be ejected from the vehicle, which is much better than staying inside the vehicle. There are lots of weird and wonderful things out there. Seatbelts, I think, kids not in car seats, babies not in car seats. That's a big one.
That is horrible.
Yeah, and we probably are quite reckless on the roads, and we don't have good enforcement of just basic traffic rules.
No, the problem is drunk pedestrians.
Well, we
also like 50% of casualties.
Yeah, 50% of
really?
Road deaths, roughly. It fluctuates slightly, but
really?
Pedestrians, yeah.
Really, wow. That's a frightening number.
Although I've never found a pedestrian who admitted to me that he was in the wrong. So inevitably the story goes something like, I was walking on the pavement and then the car mounted the pavement.
And tried to kill me.
Over, yeah. Exactly, knocked me it's over always, and then drove away. so it's always hit and run and it's always
mounted. We have huge numbers
pavement.
Of drunk pedestrians. You don't have to drive far or be super alert to see that. They stumble into the road often. You see people on their phones. They're not looking at what's going on in traffic. It's a lot of very
people
stupid
do things. Silly things, though. I mean, crossing highways is an example. Oh, I mean, sometimes that's poor planning because, you know, there's like housing on either sides of the road and the government hasn't built like bridges and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Bloody government.
Of course the government hasn't built bridges.
Yeah. Look at you expecting the government to do everything.
Well, I wish they wouldn't. Let's privatize that and a private company would. But that causes a lot of problems. People just do silly things.
Nolo, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say there are people who go as far as clipping their seatbelts, you know, right behind them so that the car stops beeping, they wouldn't buckle up. I don't know what
hit
about.
An airbag without a seatbelt. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's never fun.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, well, there's a horrible story, another horrible story on the road. The M1 North in Johannesburg was reopened after a shooting on Monday afternoon. Did you hear about this? A man and a woman were wounded on Monday. It's not clear what sparked the crime. But a section of the M1 North was closed.
I got caught in the traffic. It was horrific.
You did?
Mm.
But apparently he was a member of the Hawks.
Oh, really?
So
they
think it's a hit.
It's a hit.
Or trying to steal evidence or something.
At this
like
rate,
that.
I don't want to leave my house. Ugh.
Just carry a gun, see ya.
Well, speaking of the Hawks, she may be the public protector rather than the public prosecutor, but Busisiwe Mkhwebane is going to investigate a 3 billion rand Giani water project. Isn't it amazing how 3 billion rand can be just stolen and misappropriated. 3 billion rand is a...
2 billion at VBS. I mean,
that's child's play, Gareth.
It's a lot of money. I'm sorry.
Everyone needs a few billion, Gareth. I mean, it's got to go around.
Maybe I'm
not
stupid.
Not surprised, Dr. Witt?
Well, not by corruption anymore. Please.
Apparently, this Giani water project appears to have been abandoned. Apparently... The project was meant to supply 55 villages in the Limpopo community of Giani, obviously. It's now in limbo after the cash-strapped Department of Water and Sanitation, which, who is it that's run that into the ground?
Nomvula
Mokonyane.
Picking up the rand, Mokonyane, yeah.
That's the one. She's managed that department so well. They failed to pay the construction company he's contracted to do the job. I always feel sorry for the people of Limpopo. They seem to suck the hind tit when it comes to being taken for suckers. It seems that the people of Limpopo get the worst deal out of anyone in this country.
I don't know. The Northern Cape doesn't seem like anything is going on in that place either.
Yeah, but there's no one there.
There are only three people in the whole
Three people
Northern
and
Cape.
10,000 sheep. No, it's Gareth. I used to feel sorry, but if people keep voting for the oppressors, I don't... Yeah, as long as I'm fine. As a non-voter, I don't really care anymore.
All right. The SARS IT boss that we spoke about earlier has apologized for her regrettable Nugent inquiry conduct. Someone got hold of her and said, listen, honey, you're embarrassing everybody in the world. You're embarrassing the human race. Aliens are laughing at us.
You
right
saw
now.
That meme, right? Where you had to the entrance exam for the SARS IT management.
And join the dots.
Join the dots. But the best part of it was at the end. It says, "Please do not eat the crayon."
Wow.
Well, wow. The head of IT infrastructure says her conduct during a television interview and at the Nugent Commission of Inquiry was regrettable. So she says she can do better. Basically, this is what she wants you to know. Mamate makeke. Mokwane came off as combative during evidence at the inquiry. She says, in her personal capacity, she'd like to apologize. In her professional capacity, she's not going to apologize.
I love South Africa. What's her name?
Makeke. Mokwane is her
double
surname.
M, man.
I'm just saying, but Makeke, if that's her surname, Makeke in Zulu means cakes.
Yeah, cakes, which means vaginas.
Keke means cake. Mm-hmm. So Makeke means cakes.
She's having her cake and eating it, trust me.
Triple and, M or cakes. And we're at paying this point, for it. I feel works.
Well, in her letter, she's written a letter that should count towards her character in some way.
She can write.
She wrote a letter.
She sat with that feather and the ink. Yeah. And she
no, please, just Crayola crayons.
She may have given an impression of arrogance, nonchalance, and unprofessionalism. And the Chief Officer for Governance, International Relations, Strategy, and Communications. Yes, there's such a job at SARS. Hlengani Mathebula has responded to her letter. So basically, this is like you're responsible to the whole country, but your wife says, I've received the letter of apology from you for your conduct, which has upset the whole country and made them think that they don't have to pay taxes anymore. And that's perfectly okay. Your wife acknowledges receipt of your letter and she'll deal with it from there. Everybody just calm down. That's what they're saying. She provided absolutely no insight as to why the organization's hardware and software had not been properly maintained since 2014. I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again at the risk of getting into huge trouble. Don't bother with SARS this year. What's going to happen?
Only this year, Gareth. I haven't been bothering for a number of years. But no, I think SARS collapsing is probably the best thing that could ever happen to us.
Really?
Absolutely.
Tell me how.
Absolutely. Well, how do you fund the National Democratic Revolution with no money? If you make it very difficult for people to file their taxes, i.e. middle class people have to go queue at some shitty SARS office to submit their forms.
No, you have to go to the
They will just ask to see the manager repeatedly.
All right. Facebook has shut down accounts of a marketing group in Brazil elections. Facebook just cannot find a way to deal with this idea of free expression. Nope. And it gets them into huge trouble, and sometimes they want to do the right thing, but they have no idea of how to do it, because really Zuckerberg just wanted to start an app that could rate chicks, and now he's suddenly at the front and foremost in the world's understanding of how people give away their data for free and what you can advertise to them and what you can't. And he didn't want this. He wanted the money. He wanted the success.
He's sitting at a table where people are saying to him, you can't let, I think it's Bolsonaro in Brazil, you can't let this guy win. Mm. You know, he's got people, he's on the speed dial of people probably on both sides.
Right.
Who are phoning him and going, you need to do X, you need to do Y.
Yeah, well, they need someone to help them rig the election.
That's right.
And Facebook has become the most effective way of rigging an election. Just checking what...
I'm not convinced of that.
I mean, is that even true? I mean, how much faith do you have in people's ability? Like, for example, the Russia investigation in America.
Mm-hmm. That's disappeared.
They spent $100,000, suppose Russian bots spent $100,000.
Which is nothing.
Which is nothing on Facebook advertising. How many people actually said, this propaganda from the Russian bots really changed my mind about who I'm voting for.
Yeah, well, how many times do you read one thing on Facebook and your entire opinion on like something...
How freaky can you be, yeah.
On something as important as a presidential election where you have like multiple inputs.
Guys, and it's unconscionable.
You guys totally overestimate the capacity of some people.
No, but it's unconscionable that something like Facebook has to protect people from information.
Facebook has more influence and more effect on the way people spend their day and think about things than...
I think they want you to believe that. That's how they sell marketing. If you can convince advertisers that we have this massive influence on the populace, then, I'm going to shove my money into your platform.
Well, politicians seem to be feeding that machine. So, as you said,
Facebook... Well, you can own the libs on Facebook quite easily. I mean, it's easy to do those types of things where you sort of have viral type of content which rubs one party up the wrong way, whichever way you want to go. But I still am not convinced that that has major effects on sort of voting.
All right. Well, if you have faith in people's ability to make up their own minds, then so be
it. I'm not saying people are rational, Gary.
Yeah, well.
No, but it's a lack of faith in persuasiveness of propaganda.
All right. Let's see. I'm saying propaganda has done tremendous harm in the past. It will continue to do it in the future, no matter how educated people are. So Facebook said on Monday it had removed 68 pages and 43 accounts associated with a Brazilian marketing group for violating the social media network's misrepresentation and spam policies,
which is horseshit.
And the group was the main network of support for far-right presidential candidate Bolsonaro, which Witt correctly named as the supposed perpetrator in all of this nastiness. He's expected to win.
Yeah, he will win.
A runoff on Sunday in Brazil's most polarized election in a generation, in which social media has become the main battleground between the candidates. Guys, are we... This is a philosophical question to end the five things. Are we seeing a world which is going from left to right? Are we seeing a world where populist movements on the right are growing and populist movements on the left are shrinking? Because you could argue 10 years ago it was the opposite.
Yeah, I just see a post-democratic world. I think that the links between elected leaders and the people who vote them in have lengthened so much that ordinary people do not feel that they can influence actually the way their country is going. And you look at, if you within the EU, for example, Brussels mm-hmm. makes a lot of rules, 200 rules about pillows, and 150 yeah. rules about the shape of a banana, and shit.
It's
like
just
that.
Bureaucracy out of control.
And there's no way to influence that unless you have a European election, which people don't really vote in because they know that it's pointless. So a lot of talk about populism. Populism is an easy catch-all mm. phrase to describe people you don't like, but it's like sort of post-democracy. So if you are a political person, you can say, I can bring the power back to you as a people. Mm-hmm. I'll be accountable to you more directly. That's what Trump did. Like, and it works because all people right. feel alienated.
Do you agree, Witt?
Yeah, I think there is some pushback. I think some of the things that have happened in the world people don't like. I think we moved to the left rightfully on many issues over decades. And then we just started moving a little bit too far, and the average person is looking at the stuff going, this is insane. And I think that's going to carry on, because the people on the far left certainly aren't taking their foot off the pedal, and we keep going that way. And this is the problem with the right-left divide, is that used to be, if you believed in individual rights, you were probably a centrist. Now, if you believe in individual rights, which
you're
is against identity politics, you're on the right.
No, you're a Nazi. You're literally Hitler. All right. Jonathan Witt and Roman Kavanagh are here with us. They're from the Renegade Report, and we just thought we'd hang out with them this morning because we listened to their show and they listened to ours, and we thought, why the hell not get to know each other a little better and remind you guys of what they think of a bunch of things, check in on some news stories and so on. But now it's time for Ben. Give us the sport, Ben.
Yes, Gareth, it is the Champions League is back. Caster Semenya in line for a top IAAF award, and the Joburg Open is now part of the SA Open. Yes, big week here, or big week of Champions League. So what does that mean that everyone's talking about?
Messi's injury.
No, rape allegations.
Oh, that's cool.
It's still trumping everything else. Ronaldo sat down at Old Trafford yesterday with a beaming grin and his orange look, and people went straight to the old, did you rape her? So he had a couple of things to say. Obviously, he's smiling. He's very confident. That is the obvious reaction that him and his legal team are putting forward. But there's nothing really happened in this case yet, okay? So we're still in limbo with accusations and a star footballer. Those are all we have on the table right now. But Ronaldo, who is 33, just for some context there, he said, I play in a fantastic football club. I have a fantastic family. I have 4 kids. I am healthy. I have everything. So the rest doesn't interfere with me.
I am Bill not Cosby going to- had all of those things, didn't he?
Well, yeah. I'm not going to lie on the situation. I am very happy. My lawyers are confident, and I, of course, am too. I enjoy football, my life. The rest, I have people who take care of my life, and of course, the truth is always coming in a first position, so I'm good.
You're actually doing a literal translation, right? You're actually translating him word for word. That's because there's no way anyone talks like that.
I've just read his quote word for word.
Six-year-olds, maybe.
I have people who take care of my life. Mm-hmm. So that line for me says quite a lot. I'm not trying to find any sort of like evidence here, but this is what you're going to get from a footballer. So stop asking him about the rape allegations. This is a non-story. Let's wait until the facts come through, because you go Champions League, you go Juventus versus Jose's Man United. This is the story will still be the top story. But what do we expect him to say? Well, shit, this is a bit of an inconvenience. I was kind of hoping that people would forget if I hit it and quit it back in 2008. I mean, what's the guy going to say? Obviously, he's going to say all this kind of stuff.
And then his lawyer said this.
That was actually Jose Mourinho's chances about Man United winning, which I believe are very slim to none, but we'll get that in a second. AA Key Athens.
What?
Greeks. Kia.
Some Greeks are going to be playing Bayern München. Oh. 5-7. That's your
it's
early
probably
game.
Probably Alpha Alpha Kappa.
Along with perhaps. Then we got the young boys who are going to get a whipping by Valencia. That'll also be at 5-7. And then your 9 o'clock matches, all these times, South African time, will be TSG 1899 Hoffenheim versus Olympic Lyonnais. Then Roma will take on CSK Moscow. Real Madrid versus Victoria Plzen. Now, that is probably a game that they can win. Now, Real Madrid have lost 3 times in the Liga this year. Their current manager is, well, his press conferences are great right now because people are saying, are you going to get fired? Like, again, the stupid questions that come through. And the guy yesterday says, look how I'm dressed. I'm dressed like the coach. That means I am the coach. Fucking bravo, dude.
If it swims like a duck and quacks like a duck.
He says, I can't talk about in a month, a week, a month, or a year, but today I'm the coach. So good on you. But he's under massive pressure. You lose 3 times in La Liga and it's barely even started. So, well, they're going to win tonight, but that really won't make a difference. The Estadio Santiago Bernabéu is where that will be played. Ajax will be taking on Benfica, and then Man United versus Juventus. So that's the big game. Man United, of course, they just look like a bunch of sulking youth, really. Mostly because the biggest sulking not-so-youth of them all is the guy who leads the charge there. Mm-hmm. Mourinho, faced like a smacked ass in the best of days. He now has Juventus with Ronaldo. So that's all he's focused on, how they're going to stop Ronaldo. Unfortunately, Mandzukic is injured for Juventus, and he's been pretty prolific. Of course, he is the Croatian striker who had a great World Cup. But I still think Juventus will have enough firepower here. Man United, I mean, what? They whipped the might of Newcastle, who are bottom dwellers, the other day. Well, so I say whipped them. They scored 3 goals in the second half to win 3-2. Just had a draw with Chelsea. I don't see a lot of spark here. I don't see a lot of spark at all. Mm-hmm. And then your final match at the Obslany Sports Complex will be Shakhtar Donetsk versus Man City.
What kind of sports complex is that?
I don't know. Shakhtar Donetsk, where is that? It's like...
That's Ukraine, isn't it?
Ukrainian, I think. Anyway, Man City will be playing against them. And Man City, of course, is still very, very good. Tomorrow, I'll get into the other matches as I wrap up these ones. But Casa Semenya is in line for a top IAAF award. She has been nominated for the 2018... Female World Athlete of the Year. Now, IAAF, there's a bit of irony here, of course, because they are contesting that she is essentially a female. And so here she is, lining up for this big award.
The IAAF are the ones who are saying we're not sure that she's a female.
Well, no, it's not their exact words. What they're saying is that her testosterone levels are questionable, and they're looking to maybe pass legislation that would mean that in certain races, Caster's race being one of them, basically it's from like the 800 meters to the mile.
Oh.
There's your characteristics where your testosterone can't be very high. I mean, you can literally run with a dick in the 100 meters, and they don't seem to be too upset about that. But cast this little block there, don't you dare have a deep voice. It just seems strange. Like, testosterone, muscle, explosive power, speed, that kind of stuff. Why are the sprinters not being kind of called up on this? Anyway, so she's in line for this top award. And today, Tuesday, you'll see the nominees coming out for the men's in the IAAF. So IAAF, there's a slippery slope here, a tricky bag of worms, call it what you want. These guys are going, shit, we can't exclude her, but I mean, you know, we're including her. And screw it. Usain Bolt, he's obviously a great ex-athlete. He's retired and he's fulfilling his dream of playing football. Mm-hmm. Although now...
How's that going?
Well, he's with the, wait for it, Central Coast Mariners.
Okay, so not well.
He scored 2 goals in a friendly for the Central Coast Mariners, but isn't part of the squad, so therefore he's not training with them. Oh. There's speculation, which is obviously being hyped up by his management team, saying, oh, so we're just days away until we sign a contract. Central Coast Mariners are saying, sorry, mate, we ain't got any money for him. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to draw up a contract which is made up of his football abilities and his commercial abilities. Looking at about a 20-80 split, and I'm being kind, I guess. You know, I'm a massive fan of Usain Bolt. I think he's probably the greatest athlete and sports person that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. But this is a bit of an indulgence, is it not? This whole football malarkey.
Well, we're really all just living in Usain Bolt's world. So we got to let him do what he needs to do.
And I'm backing him for it. Yeah. But it's just the lies. And these guys don't have any money, and he's going to be... like a celebrity player?
Sure.
That's what's going to come down to. Maybe that's a new genre of sports style that we can accept.
Right, like celebrity politicians.
If anyone's going to create something great in sports, Usain Bolt could be the guy.
Make sport great again. Let's take Elson's call quickly. Elson, hey, good morning.
Hey, Gareth, how are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Excellent. I know it's most probably Saved by Sia, so I'll try and be quick. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys might have covered this because I just joined. I started listening now. Mm-hmm. You guys were talking about the journalist from Saudi Arabia yesterday.
Right? Yeah, Khashoggi, yeah?
Yeah. Did you hear the latest twist about the body double?
No, what's this?
Oh, man. Let me tell you.
You guys in Zim get all the good news first.
Kidding me? So, apparently is what happened. So, I saw this on CNN last night. A video was released where I think about 20 minutes before the journalist got into the consulate. Mm-hmm. What's his first name?
Jamal Khashoggi.
Jamal. There you go. Yeah, Jamal. Before Jamal got into the consulate, mm-hmm. a guy that looks exactly like him, same height, same body features, same mm-hmm. hair, same beard, specs and everything, left a van, got into the consulate. 20 minutes later, the dude gets in, mm-hmm. right? About a couple hours after he disappeared from the consulate, the same dude is seen exiting the consulate from the rear end of the building.
Yeah.
Wearing Jamal's clothes. Ooh.
So what are they saying? That they swapped
it? Get this. Exactly. So what happened is after this guy was killed, that guy took his clothes and put on his clothes. But this is how this guy was caught is because he couldn't fit Jamal's.
He couldn't what?
So he got out wearing his own shoes. He couldn't fit Jamal's shoes.
Oh. Is this for real or is this on My Zimbabwe?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Just because I'm from Zim, I do tell the truth sometimes.
No, I believe you. Right? I just don't believe your sources.
But check this out. Go on CNN.
That's worse. I would have believed Zimbabwe news today, but CNN.
All right, so Elson.
All right, cool. Look, so wherever you get your news. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So this guy, have they caught this double, this lookalike?
No, they didn't. But here's what happened, though.
Milling around hoping to be mistaken for Jamal Khashoggi.
Yes. So the cameras followed this guy from when he left the consulate. The guy goes into a park, goes into a public bathroom, mm-hmm. and he changes into his old clothes.
Oh, so he was only hired to do what looked like Jamal Khashoggi's exit from the embassy.
Absolutely. So now the Saudis
are just trying to cover another base in case, because they probably knew that there would be cameras around the consulate, right?
And right
after this guy disappeared, if you listen well, that is what their initial explanation was, that this guy left using another exit.
Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, so check it out when you can, man.
Yeah, right. there is surveillance.
All right, very good. Well, thanks, man.
All right, man.
All right, sure, thanks, cheers. Elson. There's Elson bringing us the real news. I mean, wow. What a story, right?
So
breaking news.
All right.
And the Joburg Open, that used to be one of the big Sunshine Tour events, was also merged with the European Tour and the Asian Tour. Well, they had a sponsor, okay? The city of Joburg. That was their whole thing. It's like all tournaments work. You fork out, say, 50 million rand, and you can have a big tournament. The SA Open doesn't have a sponsor because the city of Ekurhuleni said, well, we can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. We've stolen so much. We've plundered so much. There's nothing else. The 50 million we're going to just rather keep. So we can't keep putting into this event.
Sure. That's a pity.
Which is fine. I mean, I think David Makura couldn't even get out of bed to play with Rory McIlroy the one year. So I don't think his heart was ever really in it. Mm. So what the Sunshine Tour have got, these oaks are literally trying to make nothing. I mean, haven't even got lemons, really. Big sponsors for golf aren't exactly plentiful, right? SAA were actually the perfect sponsor for golf because they would drive tourism to the coastal areas. Yeah. SAA, what's that? It's a toilet, so we can't go with that one. So now the Joburg Open has been merged with the SA Open because the Joburg Open had a sponsor. So now, essentially, it's a sad day for golf for me, although we are retaining the SA Open as the darling, so to speak, and I hate that's been thrown out. I mean, they wheeled Gary Player out to Soweto yesterday.
So Gary is never wheeled. He always shrides.
Yes, but Gary's getting tired of this now, Wood. It's uphill.
And you must know, I mean, he's got some patience. Because he's built golf courses for dictators in third world countries.
He has. But the thing is, like, it's great. So this whole story, like, the Soweto Country Club's been refurbished and it's looking great. Wonderful. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The SA Open, as a learned and well-informed friend of mine said, must be the showpiece South Africa's major, whatever it is. So we must take it around the country as the showcase to get people to come and actually visit South Africa. It mustn't just be some event we just kind of cobble together because we find money here and there.
People who take golf seriously will spend inordinate amounts of money to play golf.
Exactly. Foreigners coming in.
They'll go to countries far-flung and diverse, and they will pour money into playing a round of golf on a green course. That's all they want.
Exactly.
People actually do that.
Yeah.
Travel the world to play golf.
Yes. Ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But let's take their money.
We haven't got time for your baseless cynicism around here.
What we need, Ben, is Donald Trump to open a golf course.
We do. You're right.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that.
Exactly. Maybe
he's rich enough to open a course.
Yeah. Trust me, if we gave Donald the SA Open, he would turn it around in a week and it'd be a sponsor and it'd be thriving and be in the country's best interest. But here we go.
Trump Open.
But here we go. The SA Open will now be a major two-course field, which is the Joburg Open's thing. It'll be called the SA Open, powered by the city of Johannesburg, or run by the city, whatever. It sounds like a shit show. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a bit sad. But then again, at least this SA Open is still going. And live another day. Joburg Open, not so much. Ugh, we used to have so many of these co-sanctioned events on. And I know the economy's crap and all that kind of stuff. But Africa Open, done. Tshwane Open is just an event. SA Joburg Open, gone. So we got the Dunhill, which Johan Rupert pays for.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge, which is obviously
Sun International pays for.
Well, Nedbank and Sun International. Course, those Nedbank. Are the two big things. And then we've got the SA Open, which is essentially the Joburg Open, which is the SA Open.
They've rolled two into one.
And it'll be at Rand Park, which is a great place to get stuck in on the 19th hole to have SA showpiece events. More sport coming up. There's also the WGC, HSBC, FYI, LOL tournament later this week. So lots to get into, really.
Thank you so much, Ben. Over to you, Sia. What do you got for us?
This is fantastic PR for them, but I'm all here for this party. We know how successful and great Amazon is.
Yes.
And so they've decided to take a stance when it comes to the climate change.
Ah.
So Amazon is now investing to make sure millions of tons of recycling gets diverted from landfills. So the company Amazon has recently announced that it will be investing $10 million.
Only $10 million. This
Did
is
you
like
just
that
say
hostage.
Only?
Yeah, because it's like that hostage situation yesterday. Amazon is almost a $1 trillion company. I think it might even be.
We'll never get to agree with a figure for billionaires, will
it's
we?
It's just crazy. They want kudos for doing something that for them is pocket change. I mean, I don't, every time I give some guy at the traffic lights R5 release a press statement.
I think this is incredible. This is virtue signaling at peak.
Okay.
This is how you do it. You're worth trillions and you give a couple of
million.
Oh, man,
have your say as well since the whole band is here.
Sorry,
have your say too.
Sorry, Sia was never going to be successful with the two of us in studio. I mean, seriously.
Ever.
I want Amazon to rule the world.
Oh?
Yeah. Absolutely, they provide great service.
I think the good news is the fact that I was not expecting
that. And they give value. No, I think they should give like maybe 1 million.
A lot less, you would say.
I mean, and they make that every 30 seconds. I think 30 seconds worth of work to save the world.
I mean, more than
enough. I like my world full of plastic and cardboard. It adds to the atmosphere.
Hey, Ben, can I give you some good news, Ben?
Yeah, I'm all ears.
Do you want to?
I'm listening. I'm waiting for the next
Ben
engine.
Likes green golf courses. Why would he have a problem with saving the environment?
Yay! Okay, there's some good news here. So, Ben, let me tell you. Amazon is doing this. They're actually devoting $10 million to an organization that works with helping with recycling because they're saying they deliver so many products and they realize their impact on the earth. So they're saying, let's work with this foundation to say we will actually recycle and do good because we understand our effect on the globe.
It's great, but they could have sponsored the SA Open and we could recycle for it.
Ben,
I'm for it, but
no,
I mean,
but.
I just... Could
What's
be
a butt?
Could better place. We could recycle Joburg.
Okay.
The SA Open for
Take
a week.
The butt away for Sebastian.
Recycle Joburg.
So what would you like to say?
No, that's a good story. And listen,
story.
Anyone who's willing to give any money to helping make the environment a little bit better, good. And especially if you are, and Amazon do put out boxes and boxes and boxes, huge amounts of packaging. We know that that's a problem. Good. At least they're doing something to combat it, even if it is only 100 million.
Because it's more than the government probably put in. So look at the private industry saving the environment again.
Yeah.
Really, I'm not being biased here, but I really do value the fact that they recognize what they're doing. They say that roughly half of Americans, they're looking at Americans overall, today lack access to convenient or sufficient recycling, and they see their numbers in terms of how many people, you know, use their service, etc., etc. So they're saying, screw it, at least let's just devote this $10 million to making a change somewhat.
Right.
So I think that's great.
But all they have to do is take that $10 million and pay people minimum wage to go around the country, collect the cardboard boxes and recycle them. So you got job creation and recycling instead of just virtue signaling nonsense.
And that's your Said by Renegade Siam report. Right. Dose of today.
If you're wondering what the hell's happening, you've woken up this morning and you've already got a headache. It's we've got the Renegades hanging with us today, which is nice. And we've got Robin from Lifestyle Home and Garden coming in a little bit later on. And a guest, an artist, very controversial artist. We're going to speak to him. We've met him before, but you get a chance to hear from him this morning. So stick around for that. CliffCentral.com.